of your law and your word here this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever heard that God's not really interested in labels, but He's more interested in the underlying truth and action? Have you ever heard that teaching or something along those lines? Have you ever read it in Scripture? If you have read Scripture, you will have read that, if not exactly those words, that teaching. God is concerned about the depths of our hearts more than He is concerned about what falls easily off of our lips. How many times I have referred to the passage in Matthew chapter 7, I do not know, but I will continue to refer to it time and time again because it is indeed the truth, where it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Labels are not what interests God. It's not what He's fixated upon. Instead, it is the actions of our heart, who we are, where we are, in our relationship with Him. We're instructed here that those of us who sin apart from the law, this would be at this point the Gentile people that He's speaking to directly, but here today I would say anybody who has not yet received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if we sin apart from the law, we're going to face judgment and death. Not that we're going to be judged by the law itself, but that we will sin, because there is law which God has already told us we have no excuse for not noticing, knowing. Again, back in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Okay, even those who have never, ever heard or seen a Bible are still without excuse. We said that those who haven't received Jesus, they will be judged according to their sins against that divine revelation which God has made available to all men. Or I should say all mankind. Now, for those of us who have had the blessing of having heard the word, the law, we will suffer judgment and death if we sin under the law. If we have received the law, God's word, and we don't do what it says, we'll be judged according to that. And Scripture tells us that if we break one part of the law, we've broken the whole thing, and that the penalty for those sins, that sin is death. So it doesn't matter if you sin, whether you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, meaning whether you have ever heard of Him or whether you have not heard of Him, penalty is the same. The judgment will be the same, guilty. You are not righteous. In fact, you are a sinner and will suffer for that. That's what's waiting. However, it says those who obey the law will be declared righteous. Now, we've been taught elsewhere in Scripture that none but Jesus obeyed the law perfectly. And that's truth. But again, remember that God is interested in the heart and the desire. And he has named David as a man after his own heart. Why? Even though he was a murderer, an adulteress, a liar. Why? Because when confronted with his sin, he didn't say, "Oh, yeah, I sinned real good there." He said, "Oh, woe is me." And he threw himself on the mercy of God. See, he recognized the fact that he needed God to intervene, that he needed salvation. The law makes that provision in the person of Jesus, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He doesn't destroy it, remove it forever, like it never was. The law is there to show us that we need Him. So those who can obey the law best, well, how can we do that? By receiving forgiveness, knowing the fact that, yes, we are sinners, and receiving the forgiveness that God has, and have that righteousness of Christ for ourselves. Then we will be declared righteous when we receive that righteousness of Christ. Not our righteousness, but His. Now we come to a part of Scripture here that I think has confused many people, has been abused by others, and can easily, if one doesn't give it the proper attention, be misunderstood, in my own opinion. Let me read it for you. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey the law will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. There have been some who've taken this passage and run in some different directions with it. First off, let me give you an illustration of what I think this passage is teaching, which was provided by a very well-known and well-respected theologian, C.S. Lewis. Now, this is the week for C.S. Lewis illustrations with the opening of the Chronicles of Narnia. I went and saw it Friday with Donna. It was an excellent movie. And I encourage anybody to go see it. Honestly, it is indeed more of a children's movie than an adult's movie, but I am still a child, so I love it. Now, it's not from the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that I'm pulling this illustration, but from the last book, The Last Battle. And the enemy of the emperor across the sea, who is God, the Father, and of Aslan, who is the son of the emperor across the sea. Aslan is the one who created all of Narnia. Is Talon. And they are in a bitter battle to the end. And in this last battle, there is a young boy who has grown up in the lands of Talon. And who never did any evil. Even though Talon himself was evil, he always did good, though he did it in Talon's name. Yet at the last battle, when all the righteous of Aslan's army were taken up to heaven, this young boy who had been a follower of Talon, he was the only God that he had ever known, but had always done good in Talon's name. He found himself with those of Aslan's people, going to heaven, going to the land across the sea. He said, "How can this be?" And the response is that The name, the label, really didn't matter. When you do good, good can only be done in my name. You cannot do evil in my name. You can only do evil in the name of the enemy. Now, this illustration, I think, shows, is excellent for this piece. I believe this is the scripture that C.S. Lewis took it from. Now, let me tell you what it's not saying first. It is not saying that you don't need to love the Lord to receive salvation and get to heaven. It is not saying that everybody gets to go to heaven. It is not saying that it doesn't matter your religion, you can still get to heaven. What it's saying is that you must have the law written on your heart and be a follower of it in order to get to heaven. Whether you know what the correct name or label of it is or not, is not as important as the fact that you have the law written on your heart and you follow it. That's what it's saying. And it's saying that those who follow the Lord, even though they don't even know His name, are well beyond those and better off than those who do know His name but don't follow. You see? God is not concerned so much as to whether you're calling Him George, or Bob, or Mr. Peterson. See, any of those names is a good name for George Peterson. I could call him George, I can call him Bob. His middle name is Robert, and all his family calls him Bob. And Mr. Peterson is indeed his name. But if you didn't know that, and I told you his name was Frank, and he was just never bothered to correct you of that, as he has a little sense of humor, and he might allow you to call him Frank for a while if you walked up and said, "Hey, Frank," you'd say, "Well, yeah, very much." See, that wasn't important. That's not what everything was said. It's the relationship. That's what God is after. What He's saying here, what Paul has written, is that if the Lord's law is written on our hearts and lived out in our lives, that's what God is looking for. And those are the things that we will be judged upon. And that those who didn't have the benefit of having heard God's Word, the teachings of the Law and the Prophets, the New Testament, that those who haven't had all of these things, these blessings, yet through the divine revelation of God have had the law written upon their heart, are in a better place, in a better position than those who have had the blessing of hearing and seeing the Word but just disobeying it. You see, hearing the Word isn't enough. Saying, "My family has always been Christian," doesn't do it. He's telling these people, "Your family may always have been Jews." That doesn't do it. That does not get you into heaven. What is required is obedience to the law and the good news. They must obey the law and love God whether they know everything or not. See, it's not incumbent upon us to know everything of the law. What's incumbent upon us is to place ourselves under it and to receive, recognize the fact that we need salvation that is available through it. That's the good news, which Paul talks about here in the very end. He says, "This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." What's going to be judged? Men's secrets. That's what's in our hearts. What's the actions? There are things I have done and thought and said that I have never told anybody. Not anybody. And I'm not going to. Don't expect me to. But you know what? Those secrets will be judged. The light will be brought upon them. And I will face that judgment. Luckily, God has also put forth the gift of salvation through the fulfillment of the law in Jesus, and said, "If you will receive my Son as your Lord and Savior, if you recognize that you are a sinner and that you can't do it on your own, and will receive Him for yourself, you will be judged righteous. You will be declared a child of God. You will spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven." This is the good news. My gospel. Gospel means good news. On the day when Jesus judges through Christ, as my gospel declares, the judgment is good news because salvation is part of the fulfillment of the law. It's there. And Paul has taken ownership of this gospel, not as the one who created it, but as one who has received it for himself and just shares it with others. So my question to you this morning, have you taken ownership of this gospel? Have you written the law upon your heart? Are you following Jesus? Whether you call him Frank or Ralph for Jesus really doesn't matter. Honestly, people use all sorts of different names. Jesus, Yeshua. The label's not important. As long as it's God whom we are talking about. See, we can only do good in God's name. If we do it in His name and it's not good, God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You didn't do it in my name, you did it in your own." You can only do good if you do that which He has directed us to. That's called obeying the law. For that is the law. To love one another. To do what is right. To love the Son. To recognize that we need His help. That in and of ourselves, we can't do it. Is that gospel yours? I ask you this morning. I'm not one who's done a lot of altar calls since I've been here. And I'm not going to do bait and switch on anybody and try to trick anybody, but I will tell you right now that I'm going to ask you to pray. And if you haven't done so before, that you would pray that prayer. And after we pray, I'm going to ask everybody to keep their heads down, and if you have prayed that, to look up at me and make eye contact. This is the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. If you haven't prayed that prayer and you just want to rededicate it again, I'd encourage you to do that too. Then afterwards, if you have opportunity, please speak to me or speak to one of the elders, George or Ed or Mike or Ross. I'm not going to do anything that will embarrass anybody or single them out. So I want you to make this decision yourself this morning and do it. All right. So let's all bow our heads and we're going to pray. We're going to pray whether or not you're going to make this gospel your own. And again, please keep your heads bowed. Whether you're praying or not, I would ask this of you. And the only ones I'm going to, and I, when I tell you to lift your head, then rest your head, not until, please. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are indeed loving and gracious, God, that you sent your Son to live and to die for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, the good news is that even though we are each one sinners, you have provided salvation for us. Lord, I pray right now that you would accept my apology for having sinned against you, Lord. That you would recognize, see that I am sorry in my heart for every sin I have ever committed against you, Lord. And I repent of that sin, Lord. I turn away from that sin and I turn to you. And Father, as I turn to you, I ask that you would cover me with the love of Jesus. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. He is indeed my God. And I will seek to follow him all the days of my life. I give myself over to you now, Lord. Conform me into your image. Help me to be a better Christian. Help me to be a better follower of Jesus. Help me to be your son. If you've prayed this morning, for the first time, I'd ask you to raise your head. Just look at me right now. Thank you. You put your head down. Thank you. God bless. Let's all stand and we're going to close.